WABF 1480. It's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Camponosi of the Common Sense Campaign.
good way to go, man.
Thank you. Adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus on 181 with a state-of-the-art car wash. That's live radio for you. Good morning, Dr.
There's
Lou.
There's live radio. Good morning to you, Laurie. Well, I have to say, that was one disappointing week last week when two of our main candidates, Congressman Mo Brooks and State Auditor Jim Ziegler, lost their races. And I mean, you know, these things happen in politics, and I know we all understand that in a way, but in another way, it's very difficult to deal with it because, especially with Congressman Mo Brooks, because the alternative is Katie Britt, and you know, her flaws are so deep, it is impossible to reconcile what we know about her and the fact that she was able to win this election, okay? On that side of the ledger, I think it's something that, you know, it's irreconcilable for me, okay? Not that there was anything untoward in terms of the election. It's obvious that the establishment did not want Mo Brooks. I got that. But that doesn't necessarily lead to a conclusion that somehow the election was manipulated. On the other hand, though, with Jim Ziegler, I am much more of the opinion that something strange happened here. Yes, Laurie is looking askance at me.
Why do you say that?
Here's why, okay? In Jim's case, he had strong poll numbers before the primary, and he ended up with 42% of the vote. Before the runoff, he had fairly strong numbers, enough to give him a cushion. It was going to be a close race. It was like 38 to 34. He ends up in a blowout. Now, he carries Baldwin County, and he carries Mobile County, his home areas. But let me just ask you something. I mean, I know polling's polling, and they can be wrong. I get that. But how is it possible that someone who has won two statewide elections was a grassroots hero for everything he did with stopping the $6 toll, with stopping Amendment 1, with calling attention to this flawed prison plan? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me how someone who had all of that going for him and won two major counties somehow has a blowout. And that really kind of leads me into the next point that I want to make here, okay? And again, rehashing the election, I'm not going to do that with Congressman Brooks when he calls in. But I do think that the Ziegler election should give us pause, okay? And I think that issues pertaining 2020, the 2020 election, that have already been put out there, where there were irregularities in Shelby County, in Madison County, where canvassing has been done that has shown many irregularities in terms of people who claim to be living at certain addresses that don't exist, or multiple people living at one address. I mean, these canvassing projects are still ongoing. And I do think that, you know, when you combine that with some of the discrepancies that we already saw this year from the primary as well as the runoff, where Etowah County had a major issue in terms of not being able to get the district straight, where people were supposed to have ballots. Again, I mean, the redistricting is a year old. I mean, it seems like they could have gotten that right. So there's major issues there. Senator Tom Watley evidently is in a tie with his opponent. And there's a lot hinging on this. And again, part of this has to do with some of the irregularities that have been talked about. So my point here is not to say that the whole election system is to be distrusted, but I am raising the issue that we know, for instance, that these irregularities took place. We know that some dead people did vote. The voter rolls have been cleaned up fairly well by Secretary of State Merrill, but there's still, admittedly by him, still issues there with all that. So it still needs to be cleaned up. Okay, fine. But the bigger issue, rather than just the irregularities, has to do with the nature of these voting machines. We all know that Dominion voting machines were suspect from day one. When Texas in 2019 said no to Dominion because of security problems associated with them, meaning that they could be penetrated by through the internet, I mean, what the hell does that tell you? Okay? So now, Secretary Merrill has always said, we don't have Dominion. Yes, I get that. But we have people who are looking at this who are extremely knowledgeable about technology. And I'm not just talking about Mike Lindell's, you know, Dr. Franks and as the physicist and all like that. I'm not just talking about him. I'm talking about our people who are as expert about technological issues as anyone anywhere else. And their argument is, it doesn't matter what machine you have, it's the software that we're using. Dominion uses the same software that our machines use. So if that's the case, then it seems reasonable to ask what's really going on here. And I think that, again, the Ziegler election to me is one of those things that stands out as something that should be, I think, looked at very carefully. And here again, the context of the Ziegler candidacy. Does the establishment want Ziegler in office? You bet your boompy they don't. There's no way that they wanted him in there. So, I mean, given what I've just said about possible, you know, software penetration, given what we know to be some discrepancies and irregularities that have already been discovered, it seems to me that we have a real duty to dig into this and see what really happened. Now, I've concentrated on Ziegler, and basically, you know, if the establishment here in Alabama did not want Ziegler, and they somehow found a way to manipulate this, I mean, here again, you've got Mobile and Baldwin County voting for him, and then he gets blown out in everything else? I mean, I guess these things can happen, but the context of election fraud goes right back to 2020. The establishment on both sides of the aisle, they hated Trump, and they did everything they could to get rid of him, and they were successful. And they manipulated state after state after state. Now, that's not in dispute.
Then why does every major news outlet talking head continue to say the same thing, especially during these January 6th hearings?
Well, because
they still say there's no proof whatsoever,
right,
of any election tampering.
Well, all I can say is that if you've adopted their position, then they're not going to cave in on it. They want to sell the big lie. I mean, Goebbels was right. Just keep repeating things enough, and you'll eventually have people believe you. So, excuse me, but the point here is context is important. And the context of people not wanting rabble-rousers, people who are going to go against the grain, people who are going to say no to a lot of BS crap that the establishment wants to do, you don't think that they have an interest to make sure that their candidate is elected or not elected? And in most case, I mean, look at all the millions of dollars they poured in, between $15 and $20 million. I mean, they wanted to make sure that he did not win. Okay? Now, my argument here is they may not have had to manipulate it because they had so much money in them to destroy him that they didn't need to manipulate it. But in Ziegler's case, it may very well be different. So I'm just throwing that out there, and I think that, you know, we will continue to look at this when we get further into this. But I mean, I'm really contemplating asking Secretary Merrill to come on the show and get into this in more depth. I know that we had asked Secretary Merrill to come down and talk to us last week, but we decided that it's just, it was too soon after the election to really have a good analysis of what went on. So we're going to invite him back after Labor Day, and that's what we'll do. So Laurie is telling me that Congressman Mo Brooks is on the line. Congressman, good morning, and thank you for coming on.
Good morning. My pleasure. Just anytime you want to call, give me a call.
I'll definitely do that. Yeah. And, you know, here again, I mentioned at the beginning of this that I didn't invite you on here to rehash the election, but I do think that your thoughts on it, you know, should be touched on. But really what I want to try to do is put a forward-looking face on where we're going with some of the issues important to you and some that I mentioned before that I'd like to kind of touch on with you as we get into our discussion. So, I mean, in retrospect, Congressman, what are your short thoughts on what happened last Tuesday?
Well, four people put in a minimum of $15 million. Those four people by themselves outspent my campaign by about 3-1, 4-1. And what that enabled the Katie Britt forces to do is be extraordinarily dishonest in their mischaracterization of my service record without me having the ability to correct the record because we just were outgunned.
Right.
That probably was the biggest factor that caused Katie Britt to win. You're familiar with some of the dishonest attack ads that they launched.
Yeah.
And without the ability to respond, people actually think that some of the accusations are true.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, and again, this is not the forum for us to kind of come up with a solution to this, but how is it possible for dishonest lies to be put out on the airwaves without any comeback? And I understand what you're saying. You don't have the money to answer everything that they did. But why in the world do lies get put on there to begin with?
Well, they get put on in order to influence public perception.
Right.
And the reason they get away with it is there is no law against it. It is up to the public to figure out when lies are being uttered as opposed to when truth is being uttered. And if you have a public that is not paying attention, well, then they are easily deceived and led astray.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. I can understand that. But this question about these major donors who take care of creating so much money that it's impossible for the ordinary Joe citizen to, you know, actually run for election, is it possible to think about eliminating pack-to-pack transfers from outside the state? I know that in 2010, Alabama adopted such a rule, but in 2018, Attorney General Marshall did have outside PAC to inside the state PAC transfers, and then he basically claimed that that wasn't the intent of the law. My understanding of the law was pack-to-pack is pack-to-pack, whether inside or outside. I mean, what is your sense of that, and would that help to stop some of this the over-ability of these people to influence elections just because they've got the money?
No, that has no applicability at all to federal elections. Federal law governs federal elections, and most importantly, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, that is the Citizens United case that went before the Supreme Court that open the floodgates for the expenditure of unlimited amounts of money if you do it via a super PAC, as opposed to giving it directly to the candidate and that candidate's campaign.
Right.
So we're pretty well locked in unless someone decides to amend the United States Constitution.
Well, again, this isn't the forum to take that into account, but it seems like at some point, and let me ask you this, have you given thought to where you could possibly go in order to balance, you know, the First Amendment rights to use your money, as Citizens United said, with the reality of what you just experienced yourself?
Well, there aren't a lot of remedies other than perhaps libel and some kind of truth in advertising, defamation of character legislation.
Sort of like the British model.
It is the responsibility of the citizenry to do enough homework to figure out what the truth is.
Right.
But unfortunately, as we just witnessed in this United States Senate race, the citizenry did not do that homework. And I personally believe that they're going to rue the day that they voted as they voted this past Tuesday on a variety of public policy issues, but time will determine how all this plays out. No one knows for sure.
Right. Well, all I can say is that those of us who supported you were honored to be able to work for you and would certainly relish the opportunity to do it again if that should ever arise. So, but you know, one of the reasons I did want to ask you to come on is to kind of take us out of the election framework and look at some of the issues that you see as that are important to you as you finish up your term. So, can we start off with maybe the top two or three issues that you have on your agenda going forward?
Well, I'm not able to control my own agenda in the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi controls 100% of what reaches the House floor for a vote, and
right.
Nancy Pelosi and her allies have won every single substantive vote on the House floor that has been cast for the last 3 years, 5 months. So we're just getting our tails whooped. If you're a conservative in the House of Representatives. Now, maybe, in November we'll have different election results. And I underscore the word maybe because nobody knows for sure how the Roe v. Wade decision is going to impact the elections. It's about like I was at Lowe's buying a whole bunch of paint, part of my to-do list that I've got to get to now that the campaign's over with. And there's this man who is wearing a T-shirt that says, I love abortion. And he was adamant, and he was strident, and he was cursing up the storm the moment he saw me because he knows I'm pro-life.
Right.
So how is that going to play out in November? You've got some people who are very, very strongly pro-life, and they will go to the polls, make every extra effort to do so. But you've also got pro-abortion advocates who are similarly strident and similarly motivated, and I don't know how that balances out once you put it into the political arena. And keep in mind too that each district is different around the country, and there are 435 districts. Who's going to end up with 218? That's a majority under these evolving circumstances. I don't know.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct that there is an unknown factor there, but at the same time there are some known factors. And, you know, 70% of the people think the country's on the wrong track. You've got inflation, high gas prices. I mean, it goes back to what Lenin said, the worse it gets, the better for us. And I think that, you know, at this particular juncture, if this election was held tomorrow, I think that the Democrats would be swept away. Hopefully that would be the same case in November. Although, you know, my personal feeling is, the worse it gets, the better. And I'm willing to suffer through that to get rid of these people because they are a real danger, a clear and present danger to everything that we believe in. And I think that, you know, if we can't stop this, of what they're doing with this woke Green New Deal and all the rest of it, it seems to me that this country is heading towards, you know, some very rough waters in terms of what you've seen in the past, you know, with Antifa and BLM taking the lead to move forward on their own violent, aggressive approach to undermining this country. You don't have to comment on that. I get that. But I do think that at some point, the recognition of who these people are and where the line should be drawn is something that perhaps, you know, needs to be addressed in your, you know, the Freedom Caucus. I mean, is that possible that you can? And here again, I mean, what the Democrats have done with this January 6th committee, I mean, it's a farce. We all know that, but they're driving home their points of view now on national TV, and I think that at some point that the Republicans are going to have to answer that. I mean, you've got Republican money, buy some airtime, and just have your own, you know, investigation. I mean, is that something that McCarthy is willing to do, or to at least answer the mail a little bit on this?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen in January of 2023. A lot is going to be dependent on who has control of the House and the Senate. Certainly on the House side, Kevin McCarthy has wanted to investigate the investigators on the January 6th committee because, in large part, they have proven to be dishonest in the past, unreliable. By way of example, virtually every one of the members, not 100%, but virtually every one of the members of the January 6th committee were the ones who were propagating the Russia collusion hoax.
Right.
Now, we all know that the Russian collusion hoax was just that. It was a hoax. It was false. But the Democrats were able to keep it going for 2 years, and with the help of the national news media, they were able to use that as a weapon to help them gain control of the House of Representatives in 2018 and reinstate Nancy Pelosi. So it's becoming more and more apparent that in today's political world, the truth is relatively meaningless. What counts is the voter's perception of truth. And that's where the advertising, that's where the mainstream news media, that's where the social media become oh so important. And the Democrats have proven themselves to be very, very adept at using these different vehicles to get their message out with total disregard as to the truthfulness of the message that they do get out.
Well, I mean, it seems to me that you have to fight fire with fire, which means that you've got to get that message that counters that. And again, unfortunately, you're it's going to cost money to do that. I've seen a couple of ads with McCarthy on, but the ads are ads. I mean, I don't know if you would want to call it a political stunt to hold an investigation. You know, do it.
Well, there is no viable method by which you can conduct an investigation that rivals that of the January 6th Commission, okay, or committee.
Yeah.
That committee has probably millions of dollars that are backing it up. It has subpoena power that forces witnesses to show up regardless of whether they want to. There are some exceptions, by way of example, executive privilege, perhaps with respect to congressmen with the speech and debate clause. So there are some limitations on how far the committee can go. But with the general population, they have the power to force witnesses to come. Anything that the Republicans were to do to try to help the public better understand what in fact happened, well, the Republicans don't have the ability to get the witnesses to come. It's about like what we just saw with Katie Britt and her support for Doug Jones in 2017. The Alabama Republican Party chairman had a witness tell him that Katie Britt had written emails supporting Doug Jones. But right. That witness was not willing to come forth because of the potential political
consequences.
Problems yeah. That might create for that particular witness. So if witnesses don't come and they don't divulge the information that is needed to give a full and complete picture of what transpired, then nothing happens.
Well, I mean, look, I understand that, okay? But on the other hand, you look at something like the movie 2,000 Mules. Now, I haven't seen it, but I've heard all sorts of good things about it, and it seems to me that a documentary along those lines could be put together just with the people that you have in your circle of influence on the Freedom Caucus. I mean, every time I see Jim Jordan on TV, I mean, he just goes after them, lays it out clearly. But here again, it's a one and done. There's nothing consistent in terms of a message that can get out there, and people down here at our level can say, okay, here's what's really going on, and we can articulate that. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just, you know, me trying to, you know, think it through. But on the other hand, you know, McCarthy and them seem to be, I don't know, floundering on this. And you're right about this. The Democrats are adept at this, whether it's social media or you know, the national news media, because they're all in their pocket. But somewhere along the line, a different message needs to be sent. I mean, I think a lot of people are getting some of it, but there's not an overarching argument that says, okay, take a look at this, and this is the truth. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is like with Adam Schiff. I mean, why isn't he prosecuted for saying, you know, I've got evidence, you know, supporting, you know, the Russia collusion thing? I mean, he went on and on about that, and nothing ever happens to it. I mean, unless, I guess, you guys take over in November and eventually in January, you can go down that road. But then if you go down that road, does that mean that the business of the country is going to get sidetracked? I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, Adam Schiff is very adept at misrepresenting facts. But there is no law against him doing that.
Right.
So that pretty much ends it. You know, we can get upset, but he keeps getting reelected.
Yeah, well, here again, you know, supposedly, you know, as we were saying a little while ago, I mean, this wave that's coming, a tsunami, hopefully it's a tsunami and not just a a ripple, that's certainly going to be, in my view, determining the fate of this country in the next few years. And I don't know. Well, just since we're running a little bit close to the end of the time here, what do you have in store for yourself after January, Congressman?
Well, I'm retired after January.
Well, I know that. Okay.
That's what I have in store.
That's what
I'm
you have in store. Okay.
Enjoy being a regular human being. I'm going to do my best to try to put some of this friction out of my mind. You know, it's grating. You talk about the things that get you fired up. Imagine being in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Having much more information about how bad things are being done at the federal government level, and you just keep losing because the voters don't do their jobs.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a very, very frustrating environment. I'd like to be in an environment for a while where I can have some peace of mind. You know, I don't want to say ignorance is bliss, but ignorance is bliss.
Well, we certainly, you know, would not try to take away your ability to kind of just kind of chill out for a while. But I think that you are too much of a resource for us to just let you kind of rock on the chair on your lawn or wherever, your porch, without staying involved
kind
in this.
But I just, you know, this was a pretty rough campaign I just went through.
You're right.
When people can get away with lying as blatantly as Katie Britt and her supporters did, and the news media just looks the other way. The news media does not do any kind of fact-checking, does not do any kind of exposing. And not only is the news media not helping to shed light on false advertising, they might even be promoting it. That's a pretty bad situation to be in. And I was just in it for about 9 months.
Right.
And then the people who have the money, they're a part of it, because by and large, the people who have the money and are willing to contribute it are the ones who are going to personally profit from the special laws that they get passed to enhance their ability to make more money. And it's the citizen that gets the short end of the stick. But then you have the citizens in all this mess, and what do? They don't do their homework. So they don't discover on their own what the truth is.
Right.
Or else they simply don't mind paying 8.5% inflation. And that's, and I say paying because that's what it is. That's coming out of their paychecks.
Exactly.
So what do you suggest?
Well, I think that since we're going down the retrospective path here, I think for you, I do understand the angst and the frustration, although I can only know it intellectually, not from my own experience. But I do think that, as I said, you are too much of a resource for us to just say, okay, adios, Mo. You know, we understand. I can understand saying that, but I'm resisting that because without people like
you... You're very kind, and I appreciate your kind remarks. But it doesn't have to always be me. Somebody else has to step up to the plate sometime.
Right.
It doesn't always have to be Mo Brooks if we're going to have good governance.
Well, I understand that, too. But I do think that, you know, Mo Brooks is someone who we can go to for insight and understanding that's beyond us. And I think that, you know, in retrospect, this whole thing with Trump, I mean, let me just close on this. What is your evaluation of what happened with the Trump business? I know you've told me before that he got sidetracked on all of this business of trying to get you to move against the 2020 election, which was unconstitutional, and that created a problem. But as you evaluate what happened with Trump...
Well, the bottom line is this, and I'm somewhat hesitant to say it, but it's what I feel. What the heck, I'll go ahead and say it. I knew going into this that Donald Trump's honor and loyalty were pretty poor.
Mm-hmm.
His reputation and his actual veracity, the credibility of what he says, is pretty much revealed by the credibility of his marital vows. Okay, and those are some of the most important vows a person ever utters. And if he's not going to be honest, if he's not going to keep his word in that kind of circumstance, plus a whole lot of others, then all of us should be properly advised that he's not going to keep his word on something like keeping his endorsement to me. Or he gave his word to a number of people that under no circumstances would he endorse Katie Britt.
Yeah.
And those words were uttered by him this year, just a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
So... I probably made a bad mistake in hoping that this time would be different, hoping that this time Donald Trump would keep his word. Obviously, he did not. Obviously, I got burned again by it.
Well, I mean, you would
I was forewarned. I'm not a rookie at this. I knew that you should not rely on anything he says to be the truth.
Well, I mean, do you think the Coleman remarks you made really kind of turned the page on his willingness to continue to support you? I mean, that seems to be the theory out there with the punditry.
Well, what I said was absolutely 100% accurate.
Well, of course, yes, everybody understood that.
There are others in the Trump world,
yeah,
who want to keep putting out the false story that Donald Trump's going to get reinstated at any point in time, that there will be a rescinding of the election, which is the word that Trump used and that he wanted me to argue for, and there's no legal avenue to it. But we have people who, for a variety of different reasons, who are willing to parrot what they know is not true, and they have seduced so many voters into believing that it's true, well, then you got a problem. And so we've seen the way it worked out, and so... Going back to this election, sorry, to keep doing it. But here we've got the Republicans having nominated the person that the Democrats considered their nominee in our Republican primary. And I say that very, very seriously because prominent Democrats had endorsed Katie Britt.
Yeah, I mean,
you have the executive director of the Alabama Democratic Party endorsing in a Republican primary. You've got former Congressman Democrat Parker Griffith endorsing in a Republican primary. And you've got a whole bunch of others. Heck.
Says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suspect that Katie Britt did not tell the Democrats the same thing that she was telling Donald Trump to get his endorsement, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's painful, obviously, for you to have to even talk about all this, but I do hope that, you know, they say time heals things. I hope that the healing process, as far as, you know, what you had to endure, goes away as quickly as possible so that you and Martha can have a quote-unquote normal life. But we certainly appreciate everything you've done for the conservative movement, and we will continue to support you as long as you want us to support you, Mo. I mean, that's the bottom line. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on today.
My pleasure. Have a blessed day.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Lori, I'm just depressed right now. I mean, really. Jeez-a-ree. But, you know, Trump's going to get what he deserves on this. Because Kevin Spriggs is already starting to get big signs, DeSantis, for 2024. Well, I mean, and really, let's start promoting that. Because look, as the sign says, you get the Trump policy without the crazy. And it's you know, Kevin's got a point there. So we'll see how this goes. All right, folks. So, I didn't get to some of the things I wanted to get to, so we'll catch up on some of this. July 4th coming up. My goodness. Y'all have a great week. Take care. Au revoir.
Thank you, Dr. Lou. Kevin Spriggs is the sponsor of this program. Spriggs Enterprises brings you the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, and that includes the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. If you'd like to hear this program again or tell a friend, it will be posted in its entirety at WABF1480.com. Now resuming regular programming.